Hello and welcome to Belfast Community Radio's presentation of the August 15th, 2018 Planning Board meeting held at Troy Howard Middle School. The meeting was to discuss the salmon farm proposed by Nordic Aqua Farms for the South Route 1 area of Belfast. The sound you're going to hear is from the video recording of the meeting made by Ned Leitner of Belfast Community Television for the City of Belfast. My name is Vic Treadwell. I edited the sound to remove a certain amount of hemming and hawing and various changes and logistics. Nothing of substance has been removed from this transcript. The first thing at the meeting was the call to order and the welcome given by Margot Carpenter, who's the acting chairman. I've left that out in the interest of time. The other members of the board present were Declan O'Connor, Wayne Corey, Jeff Gilchrist, and associate member David Bond. The first voice you're going to hear is William Kelly, city attorney, describing the purpose of the public hearing. Later we'll hear from Wayne Marshall, the director of code and planning, and then from citizens of Belfast commenting on the proposal. Thank you for your attention and your interest in civic affairs in Belfast.
Some of you may not have been involved in this type of process before. My role is to describe it a bit and also distinguish how this is very different than a planning board process in which there's an actual site plan application before the planning board. So what we're here for tonight, so we all can follow along, is a public hearing, meaning this board, which is comprised of all appointed folks. These are not elected officials. They're appointed by the city council pursuant to the city charter. It's an independent board, and it's a non-political board. So for the purposes tonight, they are here to review the proposed amendments and hear your comment. It is fairly likely they will not be engaging in a discussion with you in terms of your comments. They will be listening to your comments because their role is not a political one. Their role is to hear what you have to say, and then they have a somewhat limited role after that, which is they will make a recommendation to the City Council regarding these proposed amendments. Now, there is no particular standard of review that this board engages in as it listens to your comments and reads the proposed ordinance amendments. They are using their own independent and somewhat subjective, individually, judgment to then come to some type of conclusion and recommendation that they will actually vote upon. And that recommendation, in whatever form it may take, will go to the City Council. It could be as simple as saying, advise ought to pass or advise not to pass, or it could have some other narrative comment. That's up to the board. But it's a very different process than a political process where there's a lot of engagement back and forth between elected officials and the public. So they're here to listen. And then once they're done listening, they will stop the listening. And what will happen is the chair will say, I'm closing the public participation section of this hearing. And then the board will deliberate among themselves. And that's the part of the time when you folks are quiet. Your end is done. It's for them to then take everything you've had to say, take their knowledge of the ordinance, understanding of the proposed amendments, and then they will vote as to what they wish to do. It may not happen tonight because that depends on how many folks are going to speak. I do understand they've had an opportunity to review prior comments. I think Wayne and Sadie might address that. So, and they also had a packet of information which they've had to digest. My point being, I don't think that as of right now, this is all new information to them. They have been asked previously, as you may have heard or read about, to not be participating in the political process because they are an independent board and they are going to be, if there ever is an application filed, they will actually look at the application for site plan review. Now, I'll explain just briefly what that next application process would look like because you might need to have a sense of that in order to understand, in a way, the focus of this hearing tonight, which is just about legislative changes. Tonight's hearing is not a referendum about any company. It's not talking about their employee policy. It's not talking about whether they're financially sound. It's not talking about the nitty-gritty stuff that this board will review, maybe not the employee policy, when an application is actually filed. Site plan review is a detailed review based on the criteria that are in the ordinance that must be met and satisfied by any applicant in order for them to begin their use. This board has the golden ticket to either approve or disapprove of any site plan application when it's filed. In a way, I might say that if and when such an application is filed, that's where all the action is. That's where facts matter. That's where experts matter. That's where actual introduction of evidence matters. And then this board will rule on that. We are not here for that tonight. Tonight, it's, again, just about the legislative changes, whether they're good or bad, for the long term, for the short term, your views on those, and other stuff you may wish to comment on. So that's the purpose of tonight. You might be wondering, well, what happens after the planning board makes its recommendation to the city council? Well, at that point, the city council will review that recommendation, hold a public hearing, and then make a determination as to whether or not it will or will not act on the proposed amendments at that time. The amendments are, as you probably have read and know about, have been passed by the city council. They haven't been revoked. This hearing takes place independently. These folks are going to exercise their own independent judgment regardless of what has occurred prior to now. There's been a fair outcry that this process should have occurred, and now it's occurring. So that's, I think, everything I wanted to say in terms of where we are, where we're going. Thank you.
Next up is Wayne Marshall, and he will go over the proposed changes.
For those of you who have been at past meetings and have seen some of this, I apologize for going through some of the same information, but there are also individuals here who may not have seen such. And so the intent of my part tonight is to go through what the content of the ordinance proposals that are being presented to the planning board, with the planning board's responsibility then to make recommendations to the city council. As everyone's pretty much aware, the city had received interest from Nordic Aqua Farms in wanting to locate a land-based aquaculture farm in Belfast. When that came in, we took a look about where the current ordinances are, what issues may be arising, and these are some of the ones that kind of rose to the top. If you look at where things are, the current zoning, Residential 2, did not really allow aquaculture uses. By sort of like, it's a little bit of an oddity, because in most cases, shoreland zoning is more restrictive than underlying zoning, or such thing as Residential 2. But in the shoreland zoning ordinance, it actually allowed aquaculture uses, regardless if it was in a resource protection district, general development district, limited residential, or any other district of the shoreland zone. So you had this basic conflict between the two. We also looked at some of the specific needs that the applicants spoke about. They talked about groundwater wells, wanting to use water sources from the water district. They also talked about such things as wanting to have an intake pipe bringing water in from the bay, as well as discharging water to the bay that would come from their processing operations or their farming, their fish raising operations. We looked about what city standards would apply to the project, and we tried to identify potential ordinance amendments that may be necessary to address the project that was brought forward. Real briefly, some of the things that Nordic Aqua Farms has talked about and which have already started been put into motion. Nordic Aqua Farms has purchased about 42 acres of land. They've purchased such from the Belfast Water District, plus or minus about 30 acres, and they've purchased 12 acres from a private property owner, Sam Cassida. They've noted that this is likely a two-phase project. First phase is probably somewhere in the range of about 13,000 metric tons, but recognize again, no application has been submitted, so we do not have hard numbers at this point in time as about what their project may entail. They indicate the long run, this may be a 30,000 metric ton project. They clearly intend to use water from the water district. They actually have an agreement to purchase somewhere in the range of about 262 million gallons over the course of a year. And they plan to drill groundwater wells to provide the majority of water that they happen to need. The city of Belfast, when we first looked at this project and started talking with Nordic Aqua Farms, the city chose to purchase about 40 acres of property to try and help provide a buffer immediately adjacent to the reservoir. The city council spent taxpayer dollars to purchase about 24 acres of land near the reservoir, 250-foot deep strip, and also picked up 16 acres of land on the Northport side of the reservoir. When you look at that, all the area that is shown in the orange crosshatch is the area that should this project go forward, and I'm going to emphasize that, should this project go forward, is that the city ultimately would become the owner of the land shown in orange. The area in the black crosshatch generally represents about the 42 acres of ground or so that Nordic Aquafarms would be looking at developing as their land-based salmon operation. So Bill Kelly, when he made his presentation, particularly talked about the site plan ordinance, which is Chapter 90. But when you go through city ordinances, there is a host of city ordinances that apply to this project. One, it has to satisfy Chapter 102 zoning, which is one of the subjects of the hearing tonight. Two, it has to satisfy Chapter 82 shoreland. It needs a shoreland permit because some of the development will be located either in the general development district or in the resource protection district. In the resource protection district, it's primarily their intake pipe, their outfall pipe, and we do not believe there's going to be any groundwater wells proposed for the shoreland area. As Bill mentioned, site plan. Under the site plan ordinance, it's a very comprehensive ordinance that's used to review most major projects in town. There are 30 particular standards that have to be identified in that ordinance. They range from such things as traffic to groundwater to looking about what air quality happens to be, noise and things such as it. And it is one that is very much parallels what the DEP must do, the Department of Environmental Protection, when they issue a site plan permit. Continuing along the line, a small part of this property is actually in the floodplain. At this point, I have no clue whether or not any of their project is actually going to be proposed to be developed in the floodplain, because I want to state again, there is no application that has been submitted to the city of Belfast at this point in time for this project. We have minimal information on which to be able to make any decisions or any understanding about where the specifics of the project would go. So it may require a floodplain permit, but we don't know yet. Chapter 98, the technical standards, I don't know if any of you looked at them, but they are the ones that help dictate about what the road standards have to be, how you deal with traffic, how you deal with sewer connections, how you deal with water connections and such. Basically, they're implementing standards to help make decisions upon what is Chapter 90 site plan. Chapter 66, general provisions. General provisions is one that provides overall guidance as far as definitions that apply to all sectors of the zoning ordinance. As you're aware, some of the ordinance amendments that are up tonight involved Chapter 6 general provisions, as well as that something that the planning board likely would not look at very much should an application ever be filed, and this is really more the domain of the code enforcement officer, is should this ever go to the point as where a project has actually submitted an application, then that application has actually been approved, then the applicant needs to submit a building plan that shows how it's going to satisfy the requirements of the Maine Uniform Building and Energy Code. So that's going to really be more in the domain of the code enforcement officer. Some overall considerations that we looked at for this project is that, as mentioned at the outset, the zoning for the water district land and the cast of the property at the present time, and I'll show a map in just a moment, about 60 acres of ground is currently in the residential 2 district. This zoning does not allow industrial uses such as proposed with the Nordic Aquafarms project. Similarly, if you look at the, one thing I'll notice, if you look at the adjacent Matthew Brothers property, which is about 38 acres in size, that property for a long, long time, going back to the time period where it used to be not Matthew Brothers, but it was actually a shoe factory and such, is that that is one that has been in the Industrial 4 zoning district. As the name implies, it has allowed industrial uses for a long point in time. If you look at some of the other districts, and again, I'm going to go to the map, and I'll do that real quickly. If you look at the general purpose B zoning district, the Route 1 South commercial zoning district, and the airport zoning district, all of ones that are located in some cases as short as 500 feet of this site to where it gets to be in some other cases within about 1,200 feet, all of them allow industrial uses. The two zoning districts that do not are protection rural and residential 2 that also border where this land is. So if you look at the map, the area shown in yellow, the outline is the land that Nordic Aquafarms is looking at purchasing. The area that is shown, this is what the current zoning is, where you see the darker green up top on the other side of what Perkins Road. This is Perkins Road. This is Route 1. This is Herrick Road. This is Woods Road when you're going through. This is the general purpose B zoning district. It allows pretty much every use that's conceivable under the sun. It allows industrial uses. It allows commercial uses. It allows residential uses. It allows a whole wide range of different types of activities. This is the Route 1 South commercial district. As the name implies, it allows commercial uses. It allows retail, restaurants, offices, industrial. A good example of that is where the Moss Inc. building happens to be. If you look at this area right on the other side, of where the Little River happens to be. This is the Airport Growth Zoning District. The Airport Growth Zoning District, the main use that's allowed in airport growth is industrial type of uses. This is the area, again, which has looked at being proposed for change, the main area right in here, because the city's going to own the area in along the shore for 250-foot of depth coming up from the reservoir. So this district, as well as this district, all allow industrial uses at the present point in time. So one of the things that the city considered when we looked at putting this proposal forward, we did not view it internally as that much of an expansion of where some of the existing zoning districts were, and that this was a continuation of some of the districts that are out there. If you look at this area in here, all this area in light tan today is in residential 2. As is noted, it does not allow industrial uses. But I made this point in one of the past meetings, and even though this never was a proposal, and people should understand that, this zoning district allows offices. There is no limit on the size of offices which could be established in that district. So if MBNA had chosen this area to be their primary to be able to come in and put their facility instead of what they did out on Route 3, this area would have allowed MBNA as a development. So when folks look at this area sometimes and say this area was set aside being greenbelt, this area was set aside to be only residential, I just want to put across that is not the case. This is an area that allowed a wider range of uses than what some other individuals would perhaps believe. If you look at the other area of what is the Little River, this is Protection Rural. That zoning district, which was established in 1997, it is, as the name implies, its primary protected to residential type of uses, agricultural uses and such. Prior to that time, this was in GPA, which is pretty much the same as here, but there was a change in 1997. But that is sort of like where the map is prior to Nordic Arca Farms arriving. City approached to amendments. It said we looked at expanding the boundaries of the Industrial 4 District to include both the Water District property and the Cassida property. We looked at expanding the range of uses to allow aquaculture and associated uses, and we looked at using a lot of the standards that are currently in the Industrial 4 District as being guidelines as to how to prepare the new zoning district. So when we did that as well, what we created was what we call the Route 1 South Business Park District. That district includes the Matthew Brothers property, as I indicate, it's about 38 acres. It includes the Water District and part of the Cassida property, which is being purchased potentially by Nordic Aqua Farms. It's a purchase and sale. It's not something that's gone through as of yet. And it also includes the land that the city would be buying, which is about 24 acres on that side. Add all that together, it's about 98 acres of land. So about 60 acres of that is land that is newly being put in the district because the former Industrial 4 District already allowed these type of uses. This is recognized on this map. If you follow the purple outline here, the area in Rose, which is the area that's being purchased by Nordic Aqua Farms or the city, that 60-plus acres or so, and the area in light purple is the current Industrial 4 District, we're merging these two areas to create what's being called the Route 1 South Business Park District. So that's one of the keys of this proposal. Allowed uses. What are the uses? We're continuing to propose industrial uses, just as what occurred in Industrial 4. Clearly, we're saying right up front, there's no secret here. The aquaculture would be an allowed use. Land-based aquaculture would be one of the allowed uses. We'd allow such things as professional offices. We also put in such things as significant groundwater wells. I want to make a comment about that. Our ordinance was silent on that question in the past. So when this proposal came forward and we understood that groundwater wells may be an issue that is going to be a part of this application, what we wanted to do is provide the planning board greater authority to be able to regulate that type of use because in the past our ordinance was silent. It didn't necessarily meant that it couldn't occur because we just had never really had any significant groundwater wells proposed in the past. It also allows such things as recreational facilities and some other lesser range of uses. One of the keys with any zoning ordinance are what are the standards that are applied? What are such things as for dimensions? What are such things for setbacks and so? And so one of the ones we really used as guidelines was the current Industrial 4 District. The current Industrial 4 District has a setback of 50 feet from all lot lines, 50 feet from the front from any structure, 50 feet from the side from any structure, and 50 feet from the rear from any structure. That side and rear setback is greater than any other zoning district in Belfast, just so folks are aware. Generally, our side and rear setbacks go in the range of, usually it's 15 feet, but in some cases go up to 30. So in this zoning district where you have 50, it's greater than any other district. One of the ones that was fairly silent in the code in this particular section, you only pick it up under the performance standards that were still a little kind of murky under it. What we did is put in a particular vegetated buffer yard standard. So we said out of this 50-foot setback for all structures, 40-foot of that buffer yard must be naturally vegetated. If you've been in the property, if you have a sense of where it is, a lot of that area is trees. That means that the applicant has to retain those trees as they are then going about building a project, again, should an application ever come forward. So we put these two together. These really work hand in glove. The other one that's in there is that the Industrial 4 District had a maximum lot coverage standard of 65%, but that 65% was based solely on the building footprint. It didn't consider such things as driveways. It didn't consider such things as parking spaces and such. So what we did is we made it the 70% maximum impervious surface ratio. It means anything that isn't green, vegetated, counts toward lot coverage. And so that's one of the standards that we've used in our industrial park. It's one of the standards that we've used in quite a few other zoning districts that allow intensive uses. It's not a secret. If you go to where the hospital has a maximum lot coverage of 80%. So this is not uncommon for large-scale development in Belfast to allow these larger amounts of impervious surface. What we also have, as the folks may be aware, is the height limit is now 45 feet. The height limit for most residential structures in Belfast is 38 feet. What we also did, though, about 2 years ago, we allow things now to go to the mid-eave line, which means you're not measuring to the peak of the roof. You're measuring the distance between your eaves and the peak. So 38 feet for a lot of residential structures in town can actually be, depending upon your roof pitch, could be as much as 42. A few structures can actually be in the 45. And so this one is coming in about 45. And if you've seen their potential building plans, what they're talking about is a flat roof structure and not something that is a peak structure. So this is something that where we believe will not have as much of a profile as some of the others, but it's the standard we put in place.
You're listening to the audio from the Planning Board meeting held August 15th, 2018 at the Troy Howard Middle School. The speaker is Wayne Marshall, Director of Code and Planning for Belfast. This is WBFY 100.9 FM in Belfast and streaming at WBFY.me.
I'm going to use this as an illustration. This is going to be a little bit hard to see. But some folks have made comments about, geez, the 50-foot buffer isn't enough. I understand people's concerns, or I'll acknowledge them. But as well, if you take this red line here as being the 50, this is their property that they're looking at buying, the 42 acres. Then if you look at this crosshatch area in between, and you take out what is a 50-foot buffer on all properties, where this is about a 40 to 42 acre property to start, the size of the developable area goes down to about 30 to 31 acres. That is a significant amount of decrease in what the developable area is to a property owner. And at some point, it gets to be a question, how much, in my opinion, how much developable area or how much is it appropriate to take away from what the developable area is? And I'd also note that every time, particularly because of the configuration of this property where it's not a nice rectangle, every time you add another 5 foot or so to that buffer, the amount of developable area starts to shrink at what gets to be an escalating rate simply because of what the shape and configuration of the parcel is. But that's kind of an illustration of what that 50-foot buffer yard standard I talked about earlier that's in the code that's being proposed. What are other district changes that are coming forward in this zoning ordinance? One, we're now eliminating the Industrial 4 district. Why? We're merging it with the Route 1 South district. So it's just basically gone. We're proposing to allow groundwater wells and intake or discharge pipes in both the Protection Rural District and the Residential 2 Zoning District. The Protection Rural District is basically when you get in around the Herrick Road area. The Residential 2 District is particularly the area along the shore. Why is that? The number one thing that Nordic Aquafarms talked about us up front is that at some point in time, they're going to want to get water coming in from the bay and water gone from their facility out to the bay over where their property is across Route 1 out. So if that on the property on the other side of Route 1 is in the Residential 2, the only way to allow that, since we're now defining discharge pipes as a specific use, which we've never done before. You go down to McCrum, they've got a discharge pipe into the bay. There's nothing that says in our ordinance that discharge pipes or specific uses are allowed there. But we put it into code, so again, the planning board and the city had greater regulatory authority about where that could occur. We tried to look at the impacts and say, what did we need to do to strengthen the ordinance and provide more regulation as to how we could be going forward? So we included in those districts. So those are two specific zoning changes to allow the intake groundwater wells in these two districts. Other zoning changes. Article 4 is one that no one probably ever reads. It's just a written description of districts. So what it says is that here's what's actually in the Route 1 South Business District, not just on a map, but it's a written description. So we had to provide a new written description for the Route 1 South Business District. We had to eliminate the description of the Industrial 4 District because it no longer is there if this proposal goes forward. And we revised the description of the Residential 2 Zone because this proposal is to take property out of the Residential 2 District. So this is nothing more than a housekeeping measure. All it does is give you a written description of what the boundaries are that show on the map. Other zoning changes. When we added things into the code, and up front I talked about such things as we have zoning ordinances, site plan ordinances, and such. Under the zoning ordinance, under Chapter 102, Article 9, Environmental Standards, that's where some of the key performance standards that will apply to this project occur. It talks about noise, it talks about lighting, it talks about traffic, it talks about how you manage sewer and such. So what we've now done is add two new performance standards, one for significant groundwater wells and one for significant intake and significant water discharge pipes. And that's so there starts to be some meat on which the planning board could look at to say, how do these things get to determine whether or not they're A-OK or not OK? So that's the real purpose of putting these in the performance standards, so there's some things there for the board to look at. I will again emphasize there were no previous standards for either groundwater wells or significant water intake or significant water discharge pipes. If you do read the DEP site plan permit law, because this project does need a DEP site plan permit, they do have specific standards for what get to be significant groundwater wells. And some of their standards are pretty solid, and we've mimicked a lot of their standards. There is no standard I found anywhere for what was a significant water discharge and outfall pipe. And people said, how'd you come up with a number? And I'll tell you the same audience, the same way I told the last audience, I made the number up. You can say it's a great number, it's a bad number. People can comment on it. Basically, it's the equivalent of about 40 houses, what the discharge would be from 40 houses. And today, we do not have any significant water discharge outfall pipes from the equivalent of 40 houses, with one exception, which is Penobscot McCrum. We do have several overboard discharges. One of them actually has to be in this area for a single-family house. Chapter 82, so that's when you look at this proposal, that's pretty much the sum total of the zoning ordinance changes. We're looking at amending the boundaries, amending the type of uses that are allowed, putting in some new performance standards, and saying this is what we believe may be a reasonable mix to look at this proposal. Shoreland. If you don't know, shoreland zoning is an overlay district that comes on top of regular zoning. Shoreland zoning is mandated by state law. It means every municipality must have one. Belfast has had one for quite a long while. A lot of our code dates back to 1990. We're not in complete compliance because we haven't adopted the 2015 standards yet, but they're not mandatory, they're advisory. So we're not quite there because we have a few other things on our plate. And it affects the area primarily within 250 feet of the lower reservoir. All that land within 250 feet of the lower reservoir is in the shoreland zoning district, and it's in several different districts. Most of the area is in what's called the resource protection district. As that name sort of implies, it allows very few uses. For example, you cannot put a house in the resource protection district, with one exception, and that's if all of your property is in resource protection. You do not have an opportunity to get a house otherwise, and then you come to the planning board to get a variance to put up a house that's no more than 1,500 square feet in size. I mean, that's provision in state law. But as I noted at the outset, one of the things in resource protection that is allowed, not just in Belfast code and state law, is aquaculture. I'm not exactly sure why, but that's what the state put into law. We mimicked a lot of their law. The one area that isn't in resource protection is the area down by where the water district offices are, their buildings, their outbuildings, and some of their area. That's in the general development district. As that name implies, it's the portion of the resource, the shoreland zone that allows a wider range of uses. You can do commercial, you can do industrial, you can do such things as water district offices. It's a fairly wide open district for resource for shoreland zoning. As mentioned, aquaculture is allowed uses. So what are the specific amendments we're putting forward? One of the things that's really key about how to look at this whole proposal, and as you, if you may remember, I think it was slide 3, I talked about the need for a zoning use permit, a site plan permit, a shoreland permit, potentially a floodplain permit, is how to make all these ordinances work in sync with one another. So one of the things we went back to do is we amended the definitions for aquaculture activities and made sure that they were the same through all ordinances, so one of them wasn't in conflict with another. So in this section, you'll see that we amended, we're proposing to amend the definitions for what aquaculture is. We have a definition for marine aquaculture, freshwater aquaculture, and land-based aquaculture. We never had a definition of land-based aquaculture before, but we did have definitions for marine and such. We're adding definitions, as I talked about up front, because we have two new uses we're thinking about. Significant groundwater wells, which may or may not occur in the shoreland zone, but we put it in the ordinance just in case they do. And also water intake or discharge pipes, because we know, should this project ever go to the application stage, that there will be a proposal to put an intake pipe from the bay to their property and a discharge pipe taking water from their plant out to the bay. It's not a secret. They've talked about it from day one, and we've talked about it as well. So we put that in the code saying that this is where they would have to be able to go through what gets to be, so we put definitions in. We amended what's the table of uses. The table of uses says what's allowed, what's not allowed. And amending the table of uses, we identified where aquaculture is allowed. We said all this district. We talked about where significant groundwater wells are allowed in this district. And we also talked about where significant intake and outfall pipes are in this district. We've established specific performance standards in the shoreland ordinance that are carbon copy of the standards that we put in the zoning ordinance. This is for how you regulate groundwater wells and significant water and intake pipes. I think I've got that phrase almost down, but that's what comes in. Again, we're looking at consistency between the ordinance provisions so one isn't fighting against the other. We're also proposing a change in a designation of about half an acre of ground from what is today identified as being in the Resource Protection District to being in the General Development District. And if you look at that on this map, this is where the water district, this is about where the dam site is and where their offices are. This is where one of their outbuildings are. This is where part of their storage area is. And because this is a developed area right in here, we recommended changing this from being Resource Protection, which is all this area going this way, and this is general development right here outlined in purple. We proposed to change this half acre of ground to being what is general development. We submitted this map to the department, to the commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection, as we're required to do. Under statute, the commissioner has to sign off on any amendments that the city proposes to its code, and that we've been assured by their staff that they are comfortable with these proposals and that we will obtain commissioner sign off. If you want to look at this on a larger scale, everything that's in the light blue here, this is the shore, this is Route 1, this is Perkins Road, Herrick Road coming in, this is the bay out here, this is the reservoir, this area right here is limited residential, this area right here is general development, this area in the light yellow is resource protection, and what we're proposing to change is this little area kind of outlined in red. And again, it's about half an acre that would go from resource protection to general development. We're almost done here. At the end of the amendments, what comes in? I've talked about zoning. I've talked about shoreland. And the last one is general provisions, chapter 66. This is the definition section of the ordinance. There's definitions that apply all throughout, no matter which section of the code you look at. And so in there, we've created specific definitions, just as we did for the shoreland ordinance. They're carbon copy. There's no difference between them. Aquaculture land-based, aquaculture marine, aquaculture freshwater. We've distinguished between the three types of uses. Significant groundwater wells, significant water intake or discharge pipes. And we also have one in there which we call it accessory retail sales, because it's one that applied into code before that we didn't have a good definition of, so we thought it was time to actually put a good definition in the ordinance. It has almost nothing to do with this potential project. I don't know if they'll ever have accessory retail sales, but we put one in the code just in case. So in summary, one of the real keys here on our part was to try to establish consistency between the zoning ordinance, the shoreland ordinance, and the definitions regarding the amendments that may be proposed, that are being proposed for this area, and that may be considered for adoption. Our goal as well was to strengthen and broaden city authority with respect to certain activities. What are those two main activities that I believe we've strengthened? One gets to be significant groundwater wells. The other one gets to be water intake and discharge pipes. The other one, which I believe is much clearer today than what has ever been in the past, is what is the buffer yard standard? The buffer yard standard before talked about landscaping. It didn't talk about screening. So it didn't talk about 40 foot of natural vegetation. What it really talked about more is how you have the bayberry bushes and such in the area to help provide screening. So I believe that where we've strengthened some of that authority. No secret here. One of the goals was to create an opportunity for a potential major development. At the same time, with the city council having decided to step forward and acquire, should this sale go through, which it has not yet, it's only a purchase and sale today, the city, for the first time, would become the owner of land adjacent to the Little River. The city has never had an ownership interest in any land next to the Little River, the reservoir. We would be picking up an area that's about 24 acres again on the Belfast side, 16 acres on the Northport side, and it's a strip of land on the Belfast side that's 250 feet deep, which is synonymous with the depth of the shoreland zone. What would occur, and Bill Kelly talked about this a little bit at the outset, if this zoning is adopted, Nordic Aqua Farms has no right to do anything today other than what they've done to date, which is exploratory groundwater wells. That's what they've been doing to try and determine what groundwater resources they have in the area. But they have no right today, if this ordinance was adopted tomorrow, if this ordinance is adopted a year from now, they have no right to do anything yet because they have no permits. They have not submitted an application. They've not gone through the site plan process, the use plan permit process, the shoreland permit process. We do not have an application today to consider. Submitting an application is a major deal. On our desk are what's been submitted, what we put together to date, or the notebooks regarding the public information which has been produced by our office, as well as the public comment that's come in on the hearings. I believe at the time that Nordic Aqua Farms, should they submit an application, having looked at past applications, will probably be four times the size of that because of the number of things that they need to address is how they're going to be managing groundwater, how they're going to be managing traffic, how they're going to be managing noise, how they're going to be managing light. And I've looked at a number of site plan applications in the past to have a sense about what the volume materials that come in. We're not anywhere near that yet. We do not have much of the technical information to date, except a small amount of information that's been put out at the public informational meetings about what this project entails. I would challenge anyone in this room to tell me exactly where their building is going to go. And if anyone tells me you know where it is, you're lying to me, because you don't. You will not know it until the permit application comes in. The planning board will be responsible when an application is submitted for reviewing it, determining compliance with the ordinance requirements, and the city, at applicant expense, will hire technical experts to review the technical data that comes forward from the applicant. Good examples, when the hospital submitted an application to fill about an acre of wetland in behind where the Biscone building is, the city of Belfast hired technical experts to go out and look what was the impact of that wetland fill, how were they managing stormwater, and the board wasn't just relying upon its own knowledge, they reached out to get other folks. The board reaches out when we have such things as how to do a sewer connection. We'll look at how they're managing traffic and submit their traffic engineers' reports to other traffic engineers. We have already reached out to start hiring a hydrogeologist to be working for the city on their nickel or dime, whatever the case may happen to be, to review their reports that they put forward to see whether or not they meet the requirements of the ordinance. But that's the way that the process works when an application actually comes in. You have the technical experts to try and determine where things are. That's a quick recap of what's entailed in this proposal. Everything on this proposal is available online for anyone who would like to look at it. It's fairly similar to the things that the council took a look at back on April 17th. But it's available for all. I do want to make some folks aware as well as about what the planning board has had an opportunity to see prior to tonight's board meeting. One is that the planning board has been provided the complete record from the public hearings that were held before the city council back on March 20th and April 17th. So they are familiar with all written comment that's been offered. They also had an opportunity to review the videos from those meetings to get a sense of what was said. And so if individuals are standing up and what your goal is to repeat exactly what you said at those meetings, please be aware that the planning board has had an opportunity to review such. In advance of tonight's meeting, we've had 22 individuals in Belfast who have chosen to submit comment in writing. We've provided the board all copies of those comments. The last one didn't come in until about 4:55, 4:57, just before we came out tonight, so I'm not sure they've had a chance to read all of them, but they did receive most of them by email prior and in advance of the meeting. So as well, you do not need to stand up to repeat exactly what you've put in written comment because the board has it. Written comment as well is considered the same as what comment is that's offered at the hearing. I would also ask, in the interest of trying to have as many people comment as possible, and I do understand it's a little bit toasty in the room, is that we're asking everyone to limit your comments as much as possible and to not exceed 5 minutes. If you begin to exceed 5 minutes, we will look at cutting you off. And that's not because we don't like you. It's because what we want to do is provide an opportunity for other individuals to be able to offer comment. Please direct all of your comments directly to the board. The board generally listens, as Attorney Kelly mentioned at the outset. We're not really in a position to be able to answer questions this evening. So direct your comments to the board. The chair will receive such. Move on to the next individual. We're asking that people also please refrain from either applauding or hissing or whatever, how you choose to express yourself when someone may choose to stand up. Let's give everyone the respect that they deserve when they stand up to be able to speak. It's pretty difficult for some folks to be able to do that, so please let's be recognition of that. Again, please keep your comments within five, and we'll kind of go from there. And if something will be the chair's responsibility to actually run the hearing.
You're listening to the audio transcript of the Belfast Planning Board meeting held August 15th, 2018 at the Troy Howard Middle School. The purpose of the meeting was to receive comment on the salmon farm proposal from Nordic Aqua Farms. We've been listening to Wayne Marshall, Director of Code and Planning, laying out the details of the proposal and the process. Next, we'll be hearing from individual citizens of Belfast with their comments and opinions. This is Belfast Community Radio, WBFY, 100.9 FM and streaming at wbfy.me.
Sid Block, I live in Northport. My concern and the deficiency in what's been presented hinges on the criteria for groundwater, because you're being given permission to review this and make a recommendation, and there are standards, but there are no standards which are applicable to what is going on. The DEP standards may or may not apply to this. You have a significant amount of groundwater that potentially is going to be taken that impacts a large area here. I'll remind you that in the village of Bayside, the aquifers went dry not too many years ago, and we had to spend $600,000 to connect to the Belfast Water District. So I think the problem with what you're contending with tonight is the fact that you're going to be given permission or criteria which are not applicable to this, and I think that you should turn down these recommendations for zoning changes until you have a much better idea of what you're going to be determining and what the criteria are you're going to use for determining whether or not this application meets the requirements and the needs of this whole community. Thank you.
My name is Bruce McLaughlin. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Petroselli, Martin, and Haddow. I represent two Belfast residents, Donna Broderick and Ellie Daniels. In his introductory remarks, Attorney Kelly emphasized several times that you are not a political body. You do not have a political role. You're not a legislative body. Well, that just begs the question of what exactly your role is. You're a planning committee, so you have a planning role. And he did emphasize that you do allow permits or consider permits, but you're not just a permit-granting authority. You're a planning authority. Let me just read briefly from some of the plain language of the state statute that governs your role. The municipal officers shall designate and establish a planning committee. The planning committee shall hold public hearings and use other methods to solicit and strongly encourage citizen input. Now, this is the section of the state law governing comprehensive plans. The planning committee shall also prepare the comprehensive plan or any portion of the implementation program, and zoning ordinances are part of the implementation program, and make recommendations to the municipal legislative body regarding the adoption and implementation of the comprehensive plan. In order to encourage citizen participation, municipalities may adopt comprehensive plans after soliciting and considering a broad range of public review and comment. The planning committee shall hold at least one public hearing on its proposed comprehensive plan. When amending an adopted comprehensive plan, a municipality shall follow the same procedures for citizen participation, public notice, and public hearing that are required for the adoption of a comprehensive plan. That's exactly what did not happen in this case. On April 17, the City Council, in order to pave way for the Nordic development, adopted the same zoning ordinance that they're proposing that you look at tonight, and then they adopted an amendment to the comprehensive plan in order to make the zoning ordinance consistent with the comprehensive plan. That process was illegal. The language I just read to you is not suggestive. It's required and mandated, and it establishes a limitation on the City Council's zoning authority. So the failure to follow those procedures renders the City Council's action invalid as an excess exercise of authority. That is what has been presented to the Superior Court in our court case, which is now pending. Apparently, the City Council acknowledges its failure to follow procedure when it adopted the zoning ordinance, which is why it's now come to you after the fact to seek your recommendation, which was required before the fact. Your consideration of this zoning ordinance amendment, without having gone through the comprehensive plan amendment as required by state law, will only result in you endorsing the City Council's illegal activity. It will only result in further complication of the process to your own discredit in doing so. So we urge you to exercise your independence, to recognize the requirements of state law, and to recommend that the proposed zoning amendments not be approved. Now, I've also submitted comments on the specific provisions in the zoning ordinance that's before you. I've done that in writing, so I won't go over that now. I will commend the previous gentleman's comments about the need to look carefully at the proposed standards that are in the zoning ordinance. Part of your planning process is developing the zoning ordinance, developing the standards that are in that zoning ordinance. That's your responsibility. Thank you.
Good evening, Planning Board. I wish to offer my support and respect for the role of a truly independent planning board. Oh, I'm sorry. James Merkel, East Belfast, Patterson Hill Road. Yeah, I wish to offer my support and respect for the role of a truly independent planning board and the role it serves in maintaining democracy at a local level. The items before you today ask you to agree to allow the City Council to amend zoning ordinances without public participation or review by you, our planning board. In light of the current lawsuit against the city, charging the City Council took actions purposefully avoid any citizen participation in the planning process related to amending the comprehensive plan and allow the proposed Nordic project, and that City Council took actions to purposely avoid having the planning board and other planning bodies engage in any planning or review related to amending the zoning ordinance or the comprehensive plan to allow the proposed Nordic project. I ask you to reject the items proposed tonight and remind the City Council that, one, this is democracy. Two, your role is vital and must be independent. Three, public participation must be enhanced. I wonder how many here today are concerned about the project. Raise your hand, please, if you were concerned about the project. You know, they said that the public wasn't concerned. That's in their rationale for the PUC to shorten it from 8 months to 120 days. The rationale was people weren't concerned. Okay, I asked, you know, I've been told the public dog and pony shows by the applicant, we've been asking for public process, and they give us a Deloitte report. We asked for public process, so they spent $15,000 of my money to do a report to rubber stamp the project by a company that is ties to the applicant. And Wayne spends a lot of time of my money researching, getting his whole staff working, the City Council, to railroad a project that the citizens haven't had any chance to look at. And I'm upset about it. To listen to his passionate plea for this project over and over again, while we haven't had any public process, this is the first real public process we've had. So I would say push the reset button. This means avoid being found guilty by court and do the right thing. And I want to say I'm glad they withdrew the amendment 102-182, which was to say that they didn't need your support for the planning board when they wanted to just do a city project. There's Mike over there, yeah. So I'm glad they withdrew that. That was smart. But on the proposed changes to create this business park, I would say instead engage the public in public dialogue. That would include changing the zoning of this parcel to Greenbelt. You could see from all the photos up there that this is a de facto green belt, this land. It's right up to the boundary of the Belfast city. It's our southern gate. And the next amendment, number 102-1137, significant groundwater wells. Recommend to the city not to sell or make available Belfast water to aquaculture industries or bottled water facilities. And number 102-1138, significant water intake and discharge outfall. Recommend to the city not to use Belfast Bay or Penobscot Bay as a sewer at the aquaculture industry. Additionally, recommend to the City Council to instead begin an active campaign to remove all blockages in Belfast rivers and streams that prevent alewife and salmon migration, or install suitable fish ladders in the Little River, the Sagasawakeg, the Goose, and the West Coast Stream. Recommend that the city carefully monitor all outflows of rivers and Bay to actively work toward recovery of a wild fishery and a working waterfront that would provide hundreds of sustainable jobs alongside a recovering marine ecosystem. My boy left early because it's his bedtime, but he wanted me to tell you that when we walked there, there were active beavers along the dam. And they made a big mess in drilling wells. And he would like to see the bay recovered as well, so one day he could catch a fish, a wild fish, not a contaminated, polluted, toxic fish that's colored with carotenes and sold to the public. That's it. That's not fish that is being proposed. And I'd ask Wayne to correct him. it's more like a 98,000 houses is the nitrogen. I got the numbers from the Belfast Water District. They put out 108 pounds of nitrogen dissolved. Nordic wants to put 1,600. That's 16 cities of Belfast. 98,000 people equivalent. That's how much nitrogen this project would put in.
Good evening. My name is Ellie Daniels. I live in Belfast. I'm a longtime resident of Waldo County, and I've owned a business down on Main Street for 25 years. I love our city, and over the years, I've seen a lot of history here. I am not a person who doesn't need to work. I'm not someone who can pay my taxes without careful budgeting. I'm not unfamiliar with city government. I'm not casual about what I take a stand for. I don't spread fake news. I'm not a NIMBY. I'm not anti-industry, nor a raging environmentalist. I don't belong to a small, never-be-satisfied group. But I am deeply troubled and compelled to take action because I believe that the course of events here has gone terribly wrong. We're here tonight to talk about process. The calling of a public hearing at this time might be intended to satisfy the requirement of our zoning ordinance to allow the planning board to review and make recommendations to the proposed amendments initially brought forward last April and all of the embellishments that we've heard about tonight. It might be called an opportunity for the citizens of Belfast to be included in the discussion. Yet neither of these retroactive steps fulfills the legal mandate or intent of our state comprehensive planning statute, which requires a community-wide engagement of citizens and a full review and recommendations before a planning committee for any substantial change to our city's future land use plan prior to zoning amendments being drafted to accommodate changes to the plan. We have had a breakdown of democratic process here, and we're suffering as a result of it. The citizens on all sides of this issue are suffering. The council and the city staff is suffering. There is distrust, disrespect, polarization, untruths, and a fracture of functional communication. We cannot think clearly like this. We cannot identify the root problem nor work on solutions, and I would like to work on solutions. We cannot move forward until we're able to admit and be accountable to what has gone wrong. As members of the planning board, you were asked to step out of this process at a time when you should have been involved, according to the ordinance. Likewise, citizens were not made aware of this huge development until after a purchase and sale agreement had been reached, and while an 8-month public comment period under the PUC rules was being requested by the city to be waived. Citizens spoke clearly at the council meeting, "Slow down, this is too big and too fast." As the planning board, if you decide after this hearing to make recommendations to the council regarding the zoning amendments, you will be indicating your approval for procedural actions that are currently awaiting a judicial review. In my mind, you will be condoning what has been a serious failure of process that has had serious implications for our entire city. I urge you instead to recommend a restart. This community has the right and the responsibility to participate in a community-wide conversation about one of the biggest decisions we have ever faced. The state statute and local ordinances give us a framework in which to engage in civil discourse and work together to find common ground for the future. I understand and respect the role of the planning board as one that is well-defined within ordinances and laws as they stand today, not by what is awaiting judicial review and not by what has failed our citizens and our city. Please recommend a fresh beginning with a full planning board and community-wide review of our future land use plan, with in-depth consideration of potential benefits, drawbacks, and concerns. Only then will we begin to mend the breach and have a chance to renew our confidence in our city government. Thank you.